be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hey there. You're listening to Waking Up in America, Our American Cafe, Dynamic Radio Dialogues on Life Today in America. And hey, I'm Dr. Val Kirkgaard, and I'm here this morning with the big redhead C.W. Wright. And we've got some interesting ideas of what we want to talk about today. I was telling our announcer, Mike, that I made the mistake of reading the paper this week. We'll talk to you about that in a moment, but what we want to do before that is we want to say thanks to our sponsors, Emergency Management Solutions, also known as EMS Global One, Sir Jason Winter T and LA Lifestyle, and also Protandin. These are the things that make our lives work really, really, really well. And I was wondering, CW, before we get started in on this conversation of what's got me going about the Hunger Games and about the Saints, maybe you could calm me down a little bit and talk to me about Jason Winter T. Because I do have my cup here, but I can be inspired.
Take a couple of sips of Jason Winter's tea. It'll really calm you down. And as you know, my favorite is the peach tea. And they have several great flavors, but the peach tea or the Jason Winter's tea formula will help calm you down. Not only will it calm you down, it tastes good and it's good for you. You know the story about Jason Winter's and how he created the tea. He had that debilitating disease way back in the 70s.
The one that we used to call the Big C?
The one they call the Big C. And he searched the world for a remedy. And because he did not want to follow the instructions of the medical establishment at that time, which were go home and prepare to die.
Let me just put the choice in. In his case, it was get your tongue cut out.
Getting ready to mention. Or have half your face cut off. And when asked, would that help and do any good? And they said no. They said, Sir Jason said, that's it. There's got to be another way. So to make a long story short, him and his son set out in the world to find these, literally having to be carried around the world because he was so weak by his sons. And he ended up finding these herbs, and he was instructed to take these herbs and brew them in a pot and make a tea out of them every day, and he did so. He found that it was having, in the beginning, very little effect on him. And he got so weak one day, and he was by himself, and he didn't feel like brewing all these herbs separately. He just kind of threw them in one pot and started and brewed them all together, and he said from the first sip, he felt a difference. Later on, after he got himself healed, an oncologist in England did some research on that combination and discovered that those herbs he picked, when combined, had a synergistic effect, which made him much stronger as a group as opposed to taking them individually when they were brewed together. And here he set out and tell the whole world about his new team called Sir Jason Winterstein.
And we are actually giving away the inspiring book of his story, which is called What If, written by Sir Raymond, his son. These are amazing guys. And what I want you to do is I want you to send me an email at val@wakingupinamerica.com and say, I want that book, and just make sure you include your address. And you know what? We'll send you that book free of charge because Sir Jason Winter is about everybody waking up to what's possible in the area of health and humanity. We love this guy, and we love his son.
Calm down now?
Huh?
Have you calmed down now?
I was thinking it's really kind of too bad I drank the Jason Winter tea and calmed down, because I'm not sure if these subjects should be calmed down on. The New Orleans Saints, I mean, honest to God. I read in the paper that the New Orleans Saints had actually created a hit squad to, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on Wednesday decided that the New Orleans Saints bounty program, which paid players for injuring opponents, crossed the crucial threshold where transgressions threatened the integrity of the game. He got suspended for 2012. Now, to me, I think they should have been suspended permanently, okay? Especially since back in... a lot of people don't know, and a lot of people do know about Shoeless Joe Jackson in 1919 World Series, where that guy was actually banned for life, and he was actually a scapegoat, as I understand, CW. He was. There were eight members, I believe, of the Chicago team that were banned for throwing the 1919 World Series, and they were banned for life for throwing a World Series. This guy has been banned for a year, and he's been paying his players to injure other players. That doesn't seem like a fair exchange to me.
Well, he was not paying them. Now, I'm not trying to defend the program, but it was actually his assistant. I think it was his name, Greg. Neil, help here. His name was Greg
Williams.
Greg Williams.
There he is. The announcer. Good. Go for it.
And it was actually Greg Williams that had the program together. And Peyton knew about it, but did nothing about it. So the reprimand that he received, I think, is just. What I think is worse is that he did not do anything about it. One, but yet the people who are actually doing it are actually basically getting away from it. To me, this is intolerable. You know, I'm an ex football player myself, not a pro football player, but an ex football player myself. Now, competition is great, but not to the point where you're going to take somebody out because it'll make it easier on you.
They're killing people, okay? And they may not kill them on the field that day, but with those kinds of injuries and that kind of attention, I'm telling you, I think that what that guy did was ignore attempted murder, okay?
Well, this is beyond... Beyond reproach. This cannot exist in sports.
A year suspension? I'm sorry, CW. A year suspension doesn't do it for a guy that's sending his team out to murder people and turns a blind eye.
Okay, here's the point. Pete Rose got banned for tax reasons. This is 10 million times worse.
My point.
These people and every player involved who accepted, if they accepted any, should be banned.
For life.
Competition is great between strong athletes. And people pay to go see this competition. They really don't want to see people get killed or maimed or injured.
Yes, they do. They do. Have you ever watched Monday Night Raw? Have you ever seen that?
First of all, that is entertainment. You know these people do get hurt in that arena, but it is all choreographed, all of that.
I watched one of those guys get pitched out of the ring, landing on some seats. Now, I'm sorry, I watched that. You can say you didn't get hurt that much or something like that. But
do that. Those guys...
Well, this is why the New Orleans Saints get to do this kind of crap. It's because there's an audience for this, and that's what's frightening.
The audience that goes to a professional football, basketball, and this is just not football. This is any professional sport that needs to be addressed. The people who go to a professional sport event, they want to see good competition. Now, if you've ever been to an event like I have and saw somebody get hurt, the crowd is not cheering. the crowd, if it's a real hurt event, I'll give you an example. Joe Theismann, when his leg got broke by Lawrence Taylor in the 80s, that was a pure accident. The stadium went silent.
But that was the 1980s. I'm just telling you, and I'm saying that it wouldn't happen in the football field necessarily, but when we look at the energy that's being paid and put behind people and forcing them out there to do that, when you see that this guy only gets a year's suspension for letting this thing go on, I just was shocked at
I'm shocked at the two. They should be terminated from professional sports, period.
My total point, but look at the point of now we have the Hunger Games coming up. Mike was asking me what that was. And in case you've heard this, our little voice on the side here, Mike Vitale,
I played in the Hunger Games. Every evening when I got home from school or practice, I was hungry and the game was on when we got to the supper table.
Well, you are too funny. You are too funny. So The Hunger Games was written by, what is her name, Suzanne Taylor, okay, no, Suzanne
Collins.
Suzanne Collins, right. And she actually was watching the Iraqi war on television, and then she was watching a reality show.
And yeah, she was channel surfing, and kind of going back and forth. And as she says, and I quote, it became a blur that was unsettling. And this idea of the Hunger Games came into play. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Well, when I look at it, it's the lead section in the LA Times for Thursday, and it was so funny reading about sports, and then I go to the calendar section and I read about the Hunger Games, and I think, why are they making a movie about that? And then I realize that the movie that she's making is to show the atrociousness of how we sacrifice our youth in war. And we sacrifice our youth in war over in Iraq, and now I think, I can't remember what country Obama's getting warmed up to go attack now. Is it Iran he's warming up on now?
There's been
planning another war. Do you remember Mike, do you know what country he's, I read it the other day and I don't remember which one he's after now.
Syria?
Could be Syria. Anyway, if you've noticed, I saw the hit list of the wars, okay? So Suzanne is watching this thing going on television. I'm thinking about the war and I'm thinking about the people that have been sacrificed for war. It was like back when you were younger, CW, the Vietnam had no honor to it. World War II, the men that died in World War II, they were honored and they were tribute. They went to help in Europe. They fought. It was a good war. Since then, the veterans of these wars have ended up in Vietnam and in Korea. These veterans have ended up actually 30% of the homeless in Los Angeles is war veterans. Did you know that?
They go, yes, and they go.
They live in
and
the tunnels and stuff like that. They're drug addicts. They come home. The suicide rate hits 50% sometimes. That's because we have a loss of values. Okay, so if you look, every place you look, you can see the loss of values. So a guy was working in my house last week, and he was fixing some stuff, and he made some joke about how I was acting. Like a Marine, I was clearing some stuff out, and I was just tossing out and stuff, and he goes, boy, you're a good Marine. I go, Semper Fi. And then he goes, oh, you know, my kids both signed up for the Marines. And I said, really? I can't imagine people really wanting to go to war. And he said, oh, they don't want to go to war. They want to get an education. So our youth get lured into the wars, of which there is no honor. And they do it so they can get educated because they can't figure out another way to get educated. And they could lose an arm or a leg or an eye or heart or an ideal, a lot of ideals, actually. I mean, when you have a suicide rate that hits 50% from some of the vets, I mean, good Lord. We're looking here.
We have this kind of war conflict or fighting going on right now with our military, but we have... rewarded health benefits. you come out of the military, and you've got about 4 years, and then you're on your own. I find that very disgusting.
Pardon Mike me? Was in the service. Were you in the service?
I was not. No, I was not in the service. I decided to try college, and from college I went right into being an entrepreneur. And
good
if
for
I had,
you. Good for you, and I'm sorry you got caught, Mike.
One of the regrets I have is not going to the military, but there's a story behind it. It's not that I didn't want to go because I'd have my papers signed and everything. Anyway, that's a different subject. The point is right now is when you talk about the Hunger Games, comparing it to what took place with the Saints, and we're taking place and we're looking at society and we're enticing, it sounds like you're saying we are enticing our boys and girls to go.
I'm saying they're being enticed. I don't think we're enticing them, okay? I think the forces that be, I'm putting those little quotes up in the air, the forces that be are encouraging violence. They are encouraging, they want money. They want to sell war products. They want to take over countries. That's what I'm saying.
The authorities of the world are much more warmongers than what they used to be.
Yes, but that's the point.
The benefits of the military, the education benefits have been there for a long, long time.
Hey,
and it's a lot of our kids join the military who would not normally be able to attend a decent post-high school education, have a post-high school education, if they did not put some time in the military. And I got to tell you, you know, if it wasn't for the war, I'd be for all of everybody. And I know this sounds my hypocritical because I wasn't in the military, that everybody served their country for a couple of years.
I do too, but the point is, CW, it's about these made-up phony wars that people are being dragged into. I've never talked much with Mike about this, but I'd like to drag you into the conversation at this point, Mike. Are you happy about what you went through in the military, and what branch were you in?
Yes, and the second part of that question is I did it on my own volition, but it was a money thing, though, too, because I was in college, and so I signed up. So, yeah, I know what I know the enticement kind of game, because after a while you find out. But you know what? I had family that served, and I was proud to be a Marine and serve in the Gulf.
Well, I was proud that my grandfather was a leader in the Canadian Army and rather high up, okay? In fact, I have a lot of his skills that got passed along. He was in the horse cavalry. I'm just saying that I believe that the earlier wars, that what's going on now has no dignity and honor to it. It's a war machine clumping through the world, big feet and lots of tanks and depleted uranium and all kinds of stuff. Did you get stuck with any depleted uranium in the Gulf War, Mike?
I was in reconnaissance special forces, so we were behind the lines, and there were a lot of stuff that went on. I mean, I know at that time Saddam had blown off chemical weapons. It's obvious because a lot of the guys that I was in the Gulf War 20 years ago, they got sick and died. I didn't. So I guess
exactly. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how our people are being used as sacrifices for accomplishment, for war accomplishment and things of that nature, or for financial accomplishment. When you look at the Saints, I'm supposed thought it made the games better, or they'd win more, or they'd get more something if they took out the other team. One of the really horrifying figures, you guys, about football is that a lot of injuries are showing up later. Okay, because the brain is so badly battered often in football, they're showing up like 5, 10, 15, 20 years later with really serious problems, and it can be traced back to a lot of concussions that were never, treated or really fully recognized.
And Dr. Val, that has a lot to do with the speed and the power of the game like it's never been before. It's so much faster, and the players are stronger, that's why you're having this. And when you guys were talking earlier about Sean Payton, he was suspended for a year by Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL. I do sports here in Albuquerque for a living. One thing that is right, that what CW said, I think that's what had happened. The NFL knew for a couple of years that the Saints were doing this. They kept telling them no. They kept sending them things, all the teams, hey, you're not, no bounty programs, but they covered it up. And the result of that cover-up is why it just, you know, blew open, the top blew open earlier this week.
Well, it seems like we're jumping around, but I'm not trying to jump around. I'm trying to weave a thread of about how there's a disregard for human life and a regard for money and power. Okay, and I recently saw pictures.
Society as a whole. It's also a demonstration of society as a whole. You know, no longer is it just okay to compete. It's okay to terminate or eliminate your competition.
Exactly.
That's no way to live a life, especially in professional sports. What's next? We're going to send out hit squads, I mean real hit squads, and take people out while they're on the field? It reminds me of that have you ever seen the movie Ronin with...
No, what is that?
Ronin, who's the star in it, Mike?
I can't remember.
The CIA agent. And he's working up against a Russian agent who is also a professional skater coach. And because something wasn't going right with the deal, this one group threatened to take out the skater. And they did. The skater had nothing to do with this.
Huh.
You know, what's next? Are we going to be taking out skaters?
Absolutely. Yeah. If it's convenient or it's profitable.
We're going to take out professional athletes by shooting them on the court or on the playing field? Are you kidding me? This is about good, honest, you know, down in the dirt, boots on the ground competition. Let the best man win, or woman.
Okay, but why isn't the best man and the best woman winning? And that's this is, you know, I love to moan and complain about stuff.
Start thinking about taking out somebody, and they practice on how to do this. That's, to me, that's a form of cheating.
Do you know what latchkey kids are?
Yes.
Okay, tell us what latchkey kids are.
A latchkey kid is a child that actually has a key to their home because their mom or dad gives the key to them, so they come home because they're going to be the only ones there.
And why is that?
Well, once again, it's our society. Mom or dad or single parents have to be out working and can't afford to have anybody there when the child or children come home. So the child is ordered to come home and... left up to their own device until the
okay,
parents.
And they're going to watch television, right?
They're going to watch television and.
And what's on television? By the time a kid is 10 years old, by the way, that used to be 20 years ago, but now I'll say it's more. By the time a kid is 10 years old, they've seen 10,000 murders on television.
No, I'm not surprised.
Okay, that's what's on TV. So they're being fed murder, they're being fed drugs. They're being fed rapes. They're being fed all kinds of stuff, okay? That's what they're being fed. And then they don't have parents to guide them because parents have been required to work two jobs now to somehow live this life, which is the grand life that's supposed to be so much better than it was 100 years ago or whatever. And the kids are growing up without parents, without guidance, without any of that stuff. And you actually got me thinking about this when you asked me about Girl Scout cookies, okay?
You know, I when you first mentioned that, I got you thinking about this. I'm thinking, wow, what a reach. But I could see what you were actually comparing the values.
This is all about values.
Okay.
And how do people get decent values? First of all, we've got the stuff that we make, the stuff that we bring in from China that's like all over the place. Forgive me, Chinese, because I know you do a lot of good stuff and I read your books. But here's the deal. That stuff is, you buy something at the store, values, once again, now the warranty is for 3 months instead of 2 years. Right? And it can't be fixed. It gets thrown away and broken when it breaks, and
no,
then you're supposed to get another one.
I had a incident yesterday where we had to, I had an air mattress that I've had for about 9 weeks from, shall I say, I'm just going to say at Walmart.
Yeah, go for it.
And it had a hole in it. And it was a, and I'll give you the brand, it was Coleman. And I took it back to have it replaced, and they said, oh, we can't replace that. I didn't have my receipt. I was guilty of not having the receipt. But they said, we can't replace it. Even if I had the receipt, they couldn't replace it because they only do that for 15 days. And then they pointed to a little blue plaque, a little 2-inch by 6-inch plaque in the back of the customer counter. It says, see, we have a postage right there. I said, you expect people to read that? And I did something I've never done before, and I'm embarrassed. So I'm going to say this. I told them that I got to have this, so I'm going to go buy a new one. And by the way, this one here that's no good anymore, tell the manager to take it and stick it up. I'll stop there.
You know,
I've never done
leave it to our inspiration and our imagination. I'm really happy about this. Somebody's got to stop
somewhere.
I'm upset
with myself because I've allowed society to let me get to that point. I know I have better control of myself than that. And I was upset, but I wanted to bring that up because this is what you're talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, and I'm telling you, you're being too nice. You're just saying society. I am saying that the industrialists have led us down the garden path for a long time, and we bought into it, okay?
No,
we bought into this cheap whatever.
It's been the capitalist bankers.
The bankers, for God's sakes.
Look
at everything that's made in China now. And if you talk to somebody on the phone, you can't even understand them. And now you have to put English. You have to push the button for English, for God's sakes.
It all goes back to greed. If greed wasn't involved, guess what? Most everything would still be made here in America. But the greed for that, the almighty dollar, has put everybody into a mode that I've got to make more money. I've got to do this. I've got to do it better. Now, there's nothing wrong with competition, but destroying yourself and the people around you in your society along the way crosses the line when it comes to the economics that you're talking about. And that's what's happened here in America. We've allowed ourselves to be destroyed by greed.
You know, you're saying that at 6:29 actually, and 14 seconds that you're listening to Our American Cafe and Waking Up in America. I'm on the air here with C.W. Wright and with Mike Vitale, and what we're talking about is values in America today and how we let them slide and how we got tricked and how we bought. We bought the wrong thing, you know. We thought we were getting ourselves some value or something like that. Instead, we've got humps of heaps and piles of plastic junk floating in the oceans. I hear some of it's the size of Canada. We've got all this broken trash that's all over the place, and we've got parents that have to work two jobs to keep going, and then after they do that, then they get their house foreclosed on because they got tricked by some trickster or something like that. And actually, I think we should turn this into a program on the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, because after you complain about all the issues, and I know every single listener knows exactly what we're talking about, let's talk about the Scouts, guys.
The neat thing about the Scouts, they instill good, solid values. They teach you how to live respectfully and how to take care of yourself. I love the idea of the Scouts, and it's a shame that more parents don't steer their children toward the Scouts. I mean, the kids develop relationships with other children, they grow up with them, they learn from them, they develop skills in Scouts. As you remember, you were a Girl Scout, the number one Girl Scout cookie in 1954. Girl Scout cookie sale?
I was for Los Angeles. I outsold everybody, and I loved it. And I'll tell you, I was a Mariner Girl Scout, too. And I left Girl Scouting when I was 18 years old, and I didn't want to go. I really didn't want to go. I'm actually looking at the Boy Scouts of America webpage right now, and I'm going to hop over. I was looking around to see if I could find the Boy Scout Creed. Do you remember what that is, CW?
I do not remember what it is. It's too long ago.
Well, my Girl Scout Creed was something like, on my honor, I will try to do my duty to help my country and other people at all times. Something like that. And I apologize for not, it doesn't feel totally accurate. But notice, God, country, helping other people. That's what we said every meeting. And we took our thumb and we put it over our little finger and we held up our three fingers. And we said that. And we dressed and we helped each other and we went around and sold cookies. So when that little Girl Scout or that little Boy Scout comes by and they've got cookies, buy them. And they're good, too. It's really bad. I mean, you have to be careful. You can get fat off of those things. But
as I recall, on the Boy Scout Creed, I'm not quite remembering, but I do remember there was some argument as the creed. I think they call it more of an oath. It's like your oath as opposed to, it's the oath you live by, which to me means a creed.
I'd
have to look that up.
I'm trying to do it, and the internet is really slow. Boy Scout, I put in creed, and it didn't come up yet. I wonder if the Girl Scouts are easier to find in this one. Let's see. Boy Scout Creed. You said an oath? You called that
That's
oath.
What I recall. I recall there. It's more like it's they call it the oath or their law they live by, but because it is wisdom to live by, I think it could be considered a creed.
Mike, do you have any input on this? Are you there, Mike? I always think he's there, and then sometimes he has to do other technical things. So, Boy Scouts of America, what was your favorite scouting experience?
You know, I mentioned a while ago how you develop skills. When you're in the Scouts, and I don't know if the Girl Scouts are the same way or not, but every level through Scouts, you have this different book. And you go through the book and you learn skills, and then you get your patch for, you know, so when you're wearing it on your uniform or on your sash, that shows the world, you know, what you, your accomplishments and the skills that you've learned. And it's those skills, I think, are critical. And early on in Scouts, you know, it's simple stuff. But as you get older to Scouts, and especially when you get up to Eagle Scouts, you develop survival skills as well. And it teaches you how to get along in life. And it teaches you how to do that, not only with competition, but without hurting anybody.
I got the creed. This is the Girl Scout creed, okay? On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to help other people at all times, to obey the Scout law, and to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. This, I think, fits. I'm not sure if this is the Boy Scout or the Girl Scout. And then this came from Answers.com. And then a Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
And now that's the
law. Would
that
not take care of everything?
And I just found the oath. The oath is, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to help other people at all times, to obey the Scout law that you just mentioned, and keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. That says it all. Why don't even adults follow this?
I mean, this would work.
This would work. So we even me, guilty. We get out of Scouts. Now, I hope that our Scouts formed what I am today. I always feel we could all be better, including myself. But if we go back and as Scouts, adults that were Scouts, or even adults, period, if we just followed that, if we followed the oath and the law of a Scout in our adult lives, man, can you imagine? how much better off we would be.
Don't I sound happier?
Trustworthy, loyal.
I do.
That makes you feel good saying it.
You do. Girl Scouting, founded in 1912 by Julia Gordon Lowe, Girl Scouts have grown from 18 original members in Savannah, Georgia, to 3.7 million members throughout the United States and in more than 90 countries through USA Girl Scouts overseas. Now, the Girl Scout promise and law are shared by every member of Girl Scouting. The Girl Scout promises is the way that girls agree to act every day to one another and other people, and the law outlines a way to act towards one another and the world. The Scout promise: on my honor, I will try to serve God and my country, to help people at all times, and to live by the Girl Scout law. And the Girl Scout law is: I will do my best to be honest and fair, friendly and helpful, considerate and caring, courageous and strong, and responsible for what I say and do. Oh my God, responsible for what I say and do. Wouldn't that be a treasure?
Respect
myself and others, respect authority, use resources wisely, make the world a better place, and be a sister to every other Girl Scout. How about that?
Sister.
Hey there, sister. So I think all of a sudden I'm going to give free sponsorship eternally to the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts of America.
There you go.
You know, that's exactly what we should
kind
do,
of
CW.
I'm a sucker for Girl Scouts. I help the Girl Scouts out every year, and I promise to help them out to sell a bunch of Girl Scout skis, and it's just now over with. But I still have 200 cases of Girl Scout cookies
in
my
warehouse. Really?
Yeah, that were
100 cases. I love you, CW. Right?
Yeah,
you're my guy.
That's a. There's 12 boxes to a case. That's what, like 2,400 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. And do you know? You mentioned Savannah. They've got a new cookie this year called Savannah.
Oh no, God, no! What, Savannah? Oh. Remember the peanut butter ones? I love the peanut butter ones.
They got the Tagalongs. I know the names now. Tagalongs is a peanut butter patty, but the most popular and one of the originals was the peanut butter sandwich cookie. Remember that?
That's the one that made me famous.
Those were awesome.
I wish you'd seen me then. I was so incredibly cute. I was just adorable. And I was the daughter of a vacuum cleaner salesman, so I had skills way past my years.
You're not saying you're not cute now, are you? Because
I am cute now, but I was adorable. And there I was, this little salesperson with my little things. And I outsold everybody 2-1. And I wouldn't stop. I covered Santa Monica from... I love Scouts. I did it because I love Scouting. My favorite Scouting story is... In Mariner Scouts, we had this thing where we would meet, and they called it a GAM, because Mariner Scouts are the C version of Scouting. And so we'd get together once a year, and we'd have the GAM, which is actually a gathering of whales. And then we would earn different ratings at the GAM, from, like, the lowest rating would be a cat boat, you know, which would be the small boat with a single sail, and then all the way up to Clipper. So the big deal was... You wanted your ship, because that was, we were mariners. We wanted our ship to win Clipper at the GAM. Well, we had to do stuff that was really interesting, and to this day, I still tie a really good bowline, and I am so appreciative of the knots that I learned how to tie in Scouting. I also, I look up at the clouds, and I see cumulus and alto and stratus clouds, which was part of my weather badge when I was part of it. I've got my Girl Scout badges still, too, by the way. And as I went through this thing, Gressa Carlstead and I, we were at the GAM. We were doing well, but nobody, the person that was supposed to be in the canoeing team, didn't show up. And Gressa and I, nobody knew how to canoe. That was there. It was just something that we hadn't done. So Gressa and I volunteered to learn how to paddle our little canoe there at the GAM. And we came in second place out of all the ships, something that we learned in one day, and we won Clipper at the GAM because we did that. We did that thing we had never done before, And we won. And Caressa, I remember sitting beside her at the lake in the evening and going, wow, we did it. You know, that, and there was
awesome.
That bonding and that that spirit that you have with another person, you pulled off a big one, okay? And that scouting gave us that opportunity to pull together and to work together on stuff that was fun and made a difference and made us more competent human beings.
That is way awesome. Awesome. And if we could get more adults directing our children back into Scouts or into Scouts or just talking to them about these oaths and laws that we just mentioned, perhaps we could steer them back into a society that is much more honorable, that doesn't feel
absolutely.
Like they have to name somebody to compete with them.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't about competition, you know. Actually, I was putting together my resume earlier this morning, and one of the things that I've done a number of times in a number of different forms in my lifetime is I've been a community organizer in one form or another, either for mental health institutions or for job training programs or something like that. And I'll tell you, one of the really thrilling things is to actually see a team of people do something together. And Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts did that. We created teams, and we were complementary to each other, and not everybody had to have all the same skills. As we found out at the GAM, we needed to learn canoeing that day, but we already had somebody. We had somebody that was excellent in canoeing and got sick and couldn't come. So we pitched in and took it over and got exactly the best result you could possibly get. But the space existed for us to be that way. These poor latchkey kids, they're stuck in front of a TV set, CW.
Did you hear what you just said? And this is something that you learned there. You overcame and adapted and still went on.
And won on top of it.
And won on top of that.
But
that
here's the beauty.
Fascinating.
There could be more than one clipper at the GAM, see? It wasn't like we didn't have to beat somebody else out. We just had to reach an expertise, and we all technically everyone could have been clipper at the GAM.
Yeah, you're competing more with yourself than another person. Yes.
Yes. And that's what it's all about. You know, I talk about playing racquetball all the time, but I don't tell you that how Paula and I play racquetball is not the way people normally play racquetball. What we do is we're really getting wild. We used to play 30 years ago, and we started playing again. Paula and I, when we play racquetball, we make sure the ball stays in the air if possible. We hit it hard sometimes, you know, expecting the other one to have to get it back and such. But we don't go for the points. We never did. We haven't played a single game in all the times that we've played for points. We've played for keeping the ball in the air and enjoying ourselves. And our game is superior. Now, could I get into another competition and beat somebody at racquetball? Maybe, because I'm good enough now, but it's no fun. I'm not trying to beat somebody else. I love playing racquetball with Paula because we get this experience of really working out and having a terrific time. And that's what's missing.
So what are we going to do about this? How are we going to make this work?
I just don't know. I really do get that I want to talk to the Girl Scouts, and I want to put them on our website, and I want to maybe every program we mention to people that there's an opportunity for them to be a member of the Republic of the United States of America, and that in that republic there's a different way of living too. And, you know, I happen to be a peace ambassador in the Republic, and CW happens to be the vice president of the Republic, and he actually does a call on Sunday evenings on the Constitution. And that call is at 6 p.m. Pacific. Once again, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sundays. Conference line is 424-203-8000. Participant code is 819054. Once again, 424-203-8000. Participant code 819054. And I'm over there with CW because we don't operate based on war, a war machine, and things of that nature. We operate based on the Constitution, and we operate based on the Bill of Rights, and we operate on the people actually having a voice. I mean, when I find out these executive orders that keep happening, CW, and that the fact that the Congress never stops them, the country is not my country because I am now in the Republic, but the country that's being run by the de facto government in Washington, D.C., it's like, they've just taken over. They're doing what they want, and our Congress pretends that they should or shouldn't be doing something, but they haven't stopped any of it, and they have the capacity to do that. So if you're sick of that kind of stuff, you should check out what we're doing over here at the Republic, and you can go to the republicoftheunitedstates.org and see what's happening there. You want to say anything about that?
Yes, come on over. Like Val says, Republic of the United States.org, and visit what the Republic is all about and why we exist. Because we want to help the people of this great nation to really bring back their freedom and liberty. We want to terminate the tyranny of financial slavery and all those unlawful presentments that binds us. We want to help them have freedom, have liberty, and we want them to do this peacefully, because you can. You don't have to go to war with anybody or amongst yourselves or fight amongst yourselves. You can do this peacefully, and the way you do that is through education, and simply use the education. You have to, the tough part is bypassing or putting in check the greed of people who are in power to lead this great nation or be in a leadership position. There's nothing wrong with our rich form of government.
I was going to say the nasty figures are, CW. It's like, it looks like they're in control, and they are. But when you take a look at how many of them there are percentage-wise to the population, mm-hmm. it's probably less than 10% of the people are doing 100% of the damage. So it's not as it feels overwhelming, because the structures that are in place have been there for so long, and we've kind of bought them as unchangeable, you know, over time. But the truth of the matter is that less than 10% of the people are making our lives and our futures miserable and distorting our values. So it's not as hard as you think. And
it really isn't.
But the Republic started November 14th, right, 2010, 11:52 in the evening. That was the exact date. So in 2 years, it's really pretty amazing, you know, what's been accomplished. And if you take a look at what Benjamin Franklin went through back in the 1700s with the United States of America creating that, they actually had a harder time than I think we're going to have.
Well, they did. They didn't have near the technology. They were extremely motivated, though. They had come, many of them had come across the ocean to start a new life, and they were fleeing from the tyranny of the king at that time.
Yeah.
But they got here.
On the topics of greed, too, by the way.
Right. And
I mean,
once they got
greed seems to be a constant factor, doesn't it?
It does seem to be a constant factor, because once they got here, that tyranny of the king followed them, and that's what started the revolution. Yeah.
So we're re-inhabiting. In case you're sitting there wondering, how can they be talking about that? How can they be doing this? Blah, 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 blah. We can do this because what CW is teaching courses in is how to re-inhabit things. And we've actually taken old documents called the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and we're the legitimate government of this country at this time. Maybe you could tell them how that works.
Well, prior to the Civil War, or I should say at the beginning of the Civil War, our government abandoned what we know as the de jure form of government. And it has been left vacant ever since. And we're rehabiting that de jure form of government to bring back and accomplish the things that we talked about earlier.
When you said abandoned, It's really interesting, because a real thing actually happened. When you use the word abandon, there's actually a very colorful little vignette of American history behind that. The South walked out of one of Lincoln's Congresses, and he said, let's pretend they didn't. The moment he did that, let's pretend the South didn't walk out, nothing that's happened in this country has been legal. Am I correct?
That's correct, because what took place at that time, you lost your de jure form of government at that moment. And when the opportunity came to bring it back during the 1867 Civil War Reconstruction Act, they ignored the powers that be at the time, ignored it. And the reason why they ignored it is during those few years, or those 6 years of the war, 4 years of the war, they got comfortable not having to answer to the people for their actions. And this was what developed a strong de facto style government. I don't like using that word, but the difference, it best describes the government that took place and that takes is what we have now. And in short, the meaning of de facto is a government that runs by making you believe something is law, is what it really boils down to.
You know, I looked up the definition of de jure while you were talking, because I know what it generally means, but it's interesting. It says that it actually means according to right, entitlement, or claim, or by right, and it seems almost that what they did was claim it rather than it's not rightful, is it?
Well,
de jure is
no,
not rightful.
You're right. De jure is rightful. It's de facto that's not rightful.
There you go. See, now, let me...
Remember, our law, our true form of law is common law, based on natural law, based on, shall I dare say, God's law.
yes, dare say it. I like God, one of my favorites.
Thereby, there's an element of right and wrong in that law. And what happened... what has happened over the years, people have been left up to interpretation. There was a lot of gray area in our Constitution. It was designed that way on purpose.
Oh, here, can I read it?
Go ahead.
De facto? You know, it's interesting because actually it came out of my mouth backwards what I said, so thank you for catching that. So we have de jure, which is what we're up to, which is according to right, entitlement, or claim by right, denoting something or someone who is rightfully such, like he had, he had been de jure king since his father's death, like he had a right to that. You have a right to all the values that we've been talking about. In fact, they're born into you. De facto is what's happened, and in facto, it says denoting someone or something that in fact is a one-party system. Isn't that interesting? So it means doesn't include anything other than what they want. Am I correct?
That's right.
So they do what they want in a de facto system, and in a de jure system, we the people decide what's right. Would that be too simplistic?
No, that'd be just fine. In fact, let me shock the rest of the world. You said one-party system. We have that now, but the media and the authorities make believe we don't have that now. It doesn't matter whether you have a Republican or a Democrat or anybody else, other party in office. Stop and look at history. Over the last 20 years, you have the same thing no matter who's in power. So really, we have one-party system. We really do. And that's dangerous. So they give us the illusion that there's more than one party. But you put them in a bag, shake them all up, and dump them out, you still get the same thing. You can't tell them apart.
It was funny yesterday because John was saying, you used to make me go and vote all the time. And I would. I'd say, you know, honey, you've got your patriotic right as to go and vote. Well, that was what I actually believed, that... that there was something there, that we were actually choosing something. As CW, what you said is, I was actually looking for the President's Club, the Cleveland Club. Do you know about that?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, I saw a video from like the 1960s or the 1970s, and I think it was called the Cleveland Club or something. I was looking while you were talking. I was checking on the Internet to underscore your conversation that there is no difference. In the video, I saw future President Ronald Reagan, future President George W. Bush Sr., and future President Nixon, and they were all sitting together in this club.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's both sides of the...
Yeah, it's all of them all together there.
It was all of them all together. They hadn't been president yet. Do you know about the Harvard Club that Junior was part of? I think his grandfather, Prescott Bush, stole Geronimo's skull or some darn thing for the Harvard Club.
Skull and Bones Club, yeah.
Yeah, that one. That Skull and Bones Club, that has a lot of future people in it, too. And they get together at Harvard and things of that nature. And, you know, Prescott was a Nazi. And I even saw pictures of Prescott in his Nazi uniform and stuff like that, and didn't seem to faze anybody, because I don't think we're actually electing anybody. I think that, well, did I ever mention Clint Curtis to you?
No, ma'am.
Clint Curtis is the one that developed the crooked voting machine for Florida, and I used to have him on the radio a lot. In fact, I'll see if I can get him again. The Ohio vote in the election in which John Kerry lost to George Bush, John Kerry got the bulk of the votes, he won the exit poll, and George Bush won that precinct by more votes than there were people registered in the precinct. And Clint Curtis testified in Congress about this, and if you notice, it didn't affect George Bush being taken out of office.
No.
So, have we ever really chosen a president, or when was the last president we actually chose? Would be...
You know what? That would be...
3 minutes...
Good study, because I don't think we've ever really know. I mean, people would go back and say perhaps Roosevelt or perhaps Wilson might have been, but it could go back even further than that. And this is one of the problems that we have today, especially in the reason the Republic exists, is that our basic, fundamental, and most precious right to have our voice heard by vote is trampled on and buried and manipulated for the powers to have what they want. And it's time for us to stand up and say, it's not about you. You are about us. And it's time you start taking in an account us and not you. People in power are so fearful of making a right decision for fear of causing some backlash from somebody else in power.
2 minutes.
And it's this greed and this inexcusable irresponsibility to the people of America that I despise. And
I get it, and I appreciate what you're saying. And I'm inviting our listeners to go over to republicoftheunitedstates.org, call your local Girl Scout Boy Scout troop, see if you can volunteer. I don't know. I'm just putting it in the space. Do the best you can, because this is what we have to do. We can't just complain about how bad things we are. We actually have to go into the structure, exterminate the termites. And I'm not suggesting that we kill people. That's not that way at all. I'm just saying get rid of the termites. We're the majority, okay? So we don't have to do any damage other than what we need to do is claim ourselves, okay? Claim our rights and our privileges and what's there for us. Put our children into scouts and Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. Research the Republic. We did pick our president. His name is James Timothy Turner. You'll be hearing more about him in future years. You'll also be hearing about the other people that follow, because we've actually created a government that's actually in action and it's working. So how about that? And we've got all the states are represented here
seconds.
In the United States. So we want you to know that this program has been brought to you by Kirkguard Media. Our radio partners, KoningCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, DrValerie.com, and Doctor is all spelled out.
30 seconds.
And we thank our producer and sponsor, C.W. Wright of EmergencyManagementSolutions.org, Sir Jason Winterty, L.A. Lifestyle, Protandin, and a big thank you to our
seconds.
Team at Voice America, Jeff Spinard, Nathan Jett, Brad Comer, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale and Ron Simon, and thank you, Ron Hayes, for being
seconds.
A great research assistant. Merci beaucoup to Bent Migan for Almost Ordinary People, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking
All
Up America.
Clear.
With Valerie.
Great job, guys.
Not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkguard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through, now your heart is open.